In the past year, I mean, I've gone from knowing nothing about cancer and healing to knowing quite a bit more. I'll just say that. And to be able to pass down that information is, I think it's just such a blessing. And not only that, you know, it's a blessing for me too, to, you know, I think that every time that I hear somebody get well, doing these holistic approaches, that, you know, it does something for me. You know, it reaffirms my own healing too.
Well, that was Matt Krug here on the I Am Healing Strong podcast. My name is Jim Mann, and look who I have with me here. Allie Powell is in the country.
I am back in the country, and I am glad to hear from you, Jim. It's been a while.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you since you've been in your 30s.
No, I'm in my 40s now. Thanks for telling everybody my age.
Yeah, but you look like you're 28.
Oh, now you're trying to make up for it.
Mm-hmm. Did it work?
The fact that you shared with everyone my age.
Yeah, well, you said it on another podcast, you know, years ago.
That's true. That's true.
I felt the license to be able to say that, because most women don't want their age out there, but you're fine. I like that. You're secure in who you are.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to change it.
Well, you can't. You can't change it. I mean, like me, I'm 38, and I don't like that, but, you know, what can I do?
I know. Well, I have so much age and wisdom on you.
What can I do other than lie about my age?
Exactly.
I got my birthday coming up this Saturday.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I know. What are you going to do? Are you going to the Bahamas?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do on your birthday?
Duh.
And I'm not ashamed. I'll be 66.
Ooh, wow.
Okay, I'm ashamed.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, today I'm talking to Matt Krug. He's actually in my group.
I know, yeah.
Here in Greenville, South Carolina. I thought he was in his 30s, speaking of ages, and I thought he's about 35. He's in his 40s. He's a couple years older than you.
Oh,
well, we probably went to high school together.
Probably. He's going through the same journey that Chris Wark did, so he's following, you know, Chris Wark's protocol, and he's doing quite well. He's very optimistic, and he's also just came from China as a teacher, and so he's now a co-leader of my group, so I really like Matt.
You really like the fact that he's taken some of the responsibility off your back.
Yes, because I can't teach anything. I can't, you know, I'm not a leader, but...
Nobody tends to listen to you.
Exactly. Hello? That's the beauty of these groups. You don't have to be a leader or a teacher. I mean, they give you everything you need, but he's just so much better at it. He did it last time. He's going to do it again this time. And yeah. I feel like I'm learning something.
You're actually the one listening this time.
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm trying to anyway. You know, this is the last one of season three, the last episode of season three, and we'll take a little break, then pop back in before the 10th anniversary and kind of talk about the different things concerning that, which is taking place in Houston, September 29th and 30th. Gonna throw that out there. But it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's sad because this is it for me, Jim.
You're leaving me.
I know. All good things must come to an end.
You know, you were on a short list when I was thinking about who I want to co-host with. A short list. The fact you were the only one on the list.
Short being one name, and now you're regretting that.
No. No, because now you never talk to me again, so that's fine. I get it.
That's not true. But we are going to have to make up reasons to get together, because without this, we're going to just have our coffee dates.
Yeah. Something like that. You come in with your two phones and you say, oh, hold on, and you're talking to one. Also, the next one rings. You tried to do this, but life has gotten busier since you started this, it seems like. You keep saying, okay, next month it's going to be good. And then next month it's even busier. So, and we all understand you've got young kids and they're very involved in sports because you're a sports like family.
Mm-hmm. I've got my kids, I've got my job.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, my husband, as a college baseball coach, we really rally together to be a family with all, you know, 40 of those kids.
Mm.
And that keeps us pretty busy. But, you know, when I lost my daughter, I always said that the number one thing I want to make sure I do is when I look back on my kids' childhood, I don't want to feel like I missed any of it, because I know how precious it is after losing Izzy. And so I make no mistake or excuses for missing other things when I am trying to be fully present with my kids.
Wow. You're like super mom.
No, I'm not. But I know that's my number one priority. So one day I'll have plenty of time on my hands and I'm sure I'll be super sad. And Jim, you won't want to do a podcast with me anymore, but
I'll be in a nursing home.
Yeah, I'll come find you. But I might chase you down and make you say things, and then you might get yourself in trouble, because at that point, who knows what you're going to say?
Yeah, no filter once you're that age.
Exactly.
Well, it's so sad to see you go there, Allie, but I totally understand. Everybody understands and respects you for that.
Thank you. And I'm thankful to everybody at Healing Strong and everything that everyone has done for me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, whatever. So, well, I guess we'll get on with the story with Matt Krug, but hate to see you go. In fact, you're at your house. I'm at my house. I don't even see you anyways.
This is true. We'll meet for coffee.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Once you have 5 minutes, bring your kids. They like me.
They love you.
Okay, then. To send them instead.
Okay.
All right. On with Matt. This is a great episode. You'll enjoy it. Well, I finally get to talk to somebody in my own Healing Strong group. Matt Krug, how you doing?
Doing well, Jim. Thanks for having me.
How long has it been that you were in the group? Was it a year, 2 years, 15 years?
Yeah, I think I started right after my initial diagnosis. So I was diagnosed, March of 2022. So I came probably a month after that. So April, May of 2022.
Oh, okay. So it's been over a year now. So and I was excited that, hey, finally a guy's here. I wasn't excited that a guy has cancer, but guys do get cancer. We just don't like talking about it and joining groups.
Not too many of us.
Yeah. So I was glad to finally have a guy there. I just felt out of place. But so thank you for doing that. I'm not happy you had cancer, but I'm glad you came into the group.
That's all right, Jim. We're going to change that, right? We're going to bring more guys on board.
Yes. Yes, we are. Well, give us a little background of you. I know you were in China kind of the past couple of years anyway, teaching English.
That's right.
And what got you involved with that? I mean, where'd you grow up? I always want to know that.
I grew up actually, I spent most of my teenage and years in North and South Carolina. I was born in Illinois, though, moved to the Carolinas probably around the age of 10. Then I joined the military, joined the Navy, and headed out to San Diego at the age of probably 20 or 21. And then I spent most of my adult life in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And after serving in the military, I picked up a job. I was doing, corporate work and, just did that for the last 15 years and then decided that I wanted a career change. And so I packed my bags up and decided I wanted to do some teaching. So I moved to China of all places. So I started teaching English in China, and I did that for just about 5 years.
Wow.
Loved it. And I decided that, teaching was my thing. So that's where I've been. And then, of course, I come back to the States and not feeling quite right. So I went to the doctors, just had a little bit of pressure in my abdomen. And so they, ran a few tests, had a complete blood work done, and they found out that I was severely anemic. So, of course, that brings on more tests. So they got me in to do a colonoscopy, and that's when they found out that it was a mass in my colon. Of course, they want to rush me into surgery to have that removed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I found out that I had colon cancer.
Wow. Fun day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, everybody has that same feeling when they hear that words, those words that you have cancer. It's not pleasant.
Did you think, my life is over now? Did that enter your mind?
Yeah. And then I was thinking that, how am I going to get back to doing what I love? And, I love traveling and seeing other countries. And I'm like, how am I going to get back to China, with now I feel like I'm stuck.
Yeah, cancer seems to screw up a lot of things, doesn't it?
It does. It in the beginning, it feels like that. But after you work through it, it changes you.
Yeah. So what happened then? Did you start Googling like most of us do? Or?
Well, luckily, I had my mom. She's been familiar with holistic protocols and whatnot. And she started in the 90s. She was familiar with Dr. Malcolmus with the Hallelujah Diet and Hallelujah Acres program. And she encouraged me to look at that protocol and see if that was something that I was interested in doing. And of course, you know, once I dug into what the program was all about and started hearing testimonies about people being healed, it seemed like something I wanted to do. It just grew from there. And then, you know, I did more research, found CRISPY cancer and a whole host of other different protocols that, you know, I was seeing, you know, all these testimonies of people healing themselves through these modalities, these holistic modalities, healing themselves with their cancer. So, I mean, it seemed like a better route than chemo. But, you know, I still had friends and family pressuring me to get this tumor out of me. You know, surgery was, you know, one of the options that, I guess, the quickest option to have the tumor removed.
Right.
So that's what I did. I had the surgery and had it removed a month after my diagnosis. So that was in April 2022.
Now, how was it that your mom was familiar with that? Was there a journey that she was on or a family member?
My mom had, I think she was dealing with some thyroid issues, and she started with the juicing, and over a series of months, it helped her. So she was familiar. And we had also gone to a conference, a Bible conference, and we had heard Dr. Malcolm speak, mm-hmm. and that was probably in the mid-90s, I think it was, probably 95 or 96.
Wow. I was just a kid.
Yeah. I was just a kid, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was not. Oh, well. Now, of course, the name Chris Wark comes up in just about every podcast because people actually find out about Healing Strong through Chris.
Yeah,
work, but you had pretty much the same kind of cancer he had, right?
I had almost identical. I had stage 3C cancer. He had, I believe, 3 or 4 lymph nodes that were tested positive. I had 7 tested positive. So, yeah, almost identical on the right side. And we both had the surgery to remove the right side of our colons.
So you're gonna write a book, Matt Beat Cancer?
I should, right? But I'm afraid I might get sued for copyright, right?
Yes. So tell us, what protocol are you doing, or did you try first?
I went through a whole host of protocols. I started off with the Hallelujah Diet protocol, which is very, very similar to Gerson therapy and the CRISPY cancer. I mean, they all include, to be honest with you, Jim, I haven't found a protocol yet. Holistic protocol for healing cancer that hasn't included juicing. So they all include juicing. So I've done that. And right now, well, let me back up. So when I first got diagnosed with cancer in March 2022, I got right on the Hallelujah Diet, Hallelujah Acres protocol. And that involved drinking, I believe it is 8 or 6 8-ounce glasses of juice, freshly pressed juice, every other hour. And then also drinking 6 barley grass juices every other hour. So you're rotating between barley grass juice and carrot and vegetable juice every other hour. So on the hour, you're drinking either barley grass juice or carrot vegetable juice. I did that. So you're drinking a total of 12 juices a day, and then you completely switch your diet to 85% raw vegetables, fruits, and then you can have 15% cooked, but all whole food plant-based diet.
Wow.
So I did that for the month. So when I first got diagnosed in March, I did it for a full month just prior to the surgery. And the funny thing about that, Jim, is that while I was doing that, and I didn't know it at the time, because I was just so unfamiliar with how cancer diagnostics worked and how they test you. And, it, I didn't really know anybody that had cancer, and I didn't really have any experience with, you know, how they test for it and what they look for. And strangely enough, when I went in after doing a month on this protocol, I went in for my pre-op blood work, which was, strangely, it was a Friday. My surgery was scheduled for a Monday, and my pre-op blood work, I went in on a Friday to do it. And they drew my tumor markers. And for colon cancer, my tumor marker is what's called a CEA. And what was strange is when they did my colonoscopy the month prior in March of 2022, my CEA was, I believe it was a 19, which is pretty high. I think anything over 20 is considered metastatic cancer, where it tends to spread. Mine was a 19. And then strangely, I went in for my pre-op blood work in April, just a month later, after being on this protocol for one month. They redrew my CEA, and that tumor marker had dropped from a 19 to a 6.6. It was crazy. But at the time, I believe I got this result, and it was on a Friday. I got the result, I think, late Friday night after business hours, or it was either Friday night or Saturday morning. And I was looking at it, and I wasn't quite sure what it meant. I did a little research, and I was like, well, that's my tumor marker, And I was like, well, that drew a whole host of different questions. Like, what is my cancer? Is my tumor shrinking? Is my cancer going away because of this protocol? What's going on? And, it was the weekend, so I didn't have, nobody was available. Like anybody that, I was emailing, trying to find like holistic clinicians, practitioners, anybody that could answer these questions, but nobody was available because it was the weekend.
Right.
In my gut, I was saying, well, I think this is, this diet is lifestyle change actually is, I think it's beginning to work. But, my surgery was scheduled for that coming Monday at like 5 a.m. I had to be at the hospital, and I'm like, what do I do? And how it goes, your doctors and whatnot are, they tell you, if you let this go too long, it's going to spread everywhere. So, I let that fear kind of, control my decisions. And, I went in, of course, and had the surgery, despite that remarkable drop in the tumor marker. So, I had the surgery, and they removed, my right side of my colon. But unfortunately, in the process of that, they also snatched up, I believe it was 49 of my lymph nodes, which I'm later discovering that's not great for your immune system. So,
wow, 49.
Yeah. So, normally I hear people, they snatch up 20 or so, but now they got 49 of mine. So out of 49, 7 of them tested positive. So after that, I went back in a month later after my surgery to my oncologist and had all my blood work come back, and everything looked pretty good. My CEA actually was, had dropped into the normal range. It was now at a 1.5. So everything looked very promising. I actually got into the mindset that I'd say probably a couple months after that I was pretty good to go. And I was feeling good. When I hear a lot of stories that, people often have surgeries and they get their tumors removed and, they're feeling pretty good and, they kind of relax their protocols.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was no different. I kind of did the same thing. I was still very clean eating, whole food, plant-based diet. I didn't eat any refined sugars or flours or anything like that. It was all whole food, plant-based. I cut back a little bit on my juicing, but I was still eating pretty clean. And, you know, I had routine blood work I had scheduled for every 3 months. And then I had scans scheduled for every 4 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went in for the next checkup 3 months later. It had shown that there was a little tick rise in my CEA, my tumor marker. I think it rose from a 1.5 to a 2.2, but still considered into the normal range. So I was saying, I still feel good. You know, a little tick, that's normal. Unfortunately, if I had known what I know now, I would have known that wasn't normal, and I would have been hardcore on different healing right. protocols. But it's a learning experience. So, you know, fast forward another 3 months, I get another rise. I think it jumped up to a 3.7. So now we're a little bit outside of the normal range. And fast forward another 3 months, I start feeling a little not right again, as far as, you know, my, you know, abdominal pressure and whatnot. And I just knew something wasn't right. Went in another tick up to my CEA. I think now we're in the 4.5 or something like that. And the oncologist is now getting a little concerned, and I'm definitely getting a little concerned.
Right.
About it. I think this was probably, I don't know, February of this year, I think February 2023. And I had scans done in April of 2023. And that's when they discovered that there was a reoccurrence in my colon cancer. But this time it was not inside my colon. It was actually outside of my colon. So a little wow. bit more dangerous.
Now, I know you missed the group meeting for a couple months because you were working in the evenings. I think it was during that time, right?
Yeah, it was during that time. And what had happened was I was actually doing some teaching online and going through a different program, some different programs. I was on California time, so I was unable to get to the meeting, Healing Strong meetings. It was conflicting right. with the schedule. So, but also during that time, it was, you know, I was not following hardly I wasn't dedicating as much time to my protocols, just not eating the salads that I was supposed to be eating, the raw foods. It was mostly cooked foods. And, had I known now the importance of, raw diet when you're healing from cancer, not so mm-hmm. much when you've already healed and you're more in a maintenance mode.
Yeah.
When you're actively healing from cancer, that raw plant-based diet is so important.
Yeah, crucial. And,
you know, I just wasn't following it. To be honest with you, Jim, I thought I was good to go. I thought that tumor marker, that CEA, I had clean scans, and I felt good. I thought I was good to go.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the cancer was gone. Again, if I had known what I know now, especially with different testings that they can do now, with actually the circulating tumor markers or the circulating tumor cells that they can actually get from your blood. Now, those tests can be done, and they can tell you that, you know, you are not healed, even though you feel like $1 million and you know, your tumor marker or your CA or whatever tumor marker that you use is in the normal range, you can still have, you know, cancer circulating in your body.
Right.
You know? And that's what was going on in my body. You know, it was silently growing until it wasn't silent anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now, because I think I told you earlier that a couple of weeks ago, the doctor gave me an all clear because I hit the 5-year mark, and he says, you don't need any more scans. You're pretty much cancer free. And I know that feeling. I feel like, well, I can loosen up a little. And I wasn't, you know, hardcore either, because, you know, I was kind of in the maintenance position because they didn't see any cancer for, well, for 5 years. So I was still trying to eat right and, you know, take the different things. I was doing a little juicing here and there. But now, you know, I'm a little concerned, even though I feel great. And I'm like, okay, I'm home free. But it's human nature to start thinking, hey, I can start having that dessert, a little bit of cake here, some more ice cream here. And first of all, you don't feel as good when you eat like that. But,
right,
you know, something like this is like a wake-up call that you don't do what you were doing before the cancer, because obviously you're going to go back to having cancer again. Whatever right. It was that kind of caused it to come into your body, or into your life, rather. It's always in their body, but your immune system takes care of it when you're healthy. But something is off kilter and causing the cancer to kind of take over, get out of hand. And so I don't want that to happen myself. And we all pretty much go through that phase when, you know, like you say, your markers were good and you're feeling like, okay, I'm healthy, I'm good, I can relax a little. But yeah, you're at that period now that you're realizing, no, it's not going to take over. I'm getting back on the train.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I think the biggest contribution to my reoccurrence is I nailed the physical part with, you know, diet, exercise, and supplements. And those are a big part of healing. But I completely left out the, you know, the spiritual and the emotional sides of healing. I think that was, you know, that has such a big impact on the total healing that your body needs in order to eradicate this cancer. So,
right.
You know, I realize that now. And also, it becomes so overwhelming for anybody that's trying to heal holistically, or I will even say, you know, conventionally, because you've got so much information coming at you at different angles. You either need to do this or you need to do that. And then you've got different holistic, I guess I'll say, influencers that have conflicting information. You know, one influencer will say do this and the other influencer will say do that, but there's not really a black or white
right
protocol to follow, but, you know, because, you know, cancer is, what I know now, is very unique to the person. You know, it's my cancer. It's unique to me and how it responds to different treatments and food and, or any protocol for that matter.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to learn that. And, you know, after learning that, I said, well, you know, I'm going to need a little bit more help at this. From all different angles, from all three angles, the physical, the emotional, and spiritual. And luckily enough, you know, I think I heard about the RGCC test through Crispy Cancer. And I think it's also on our program at Healing Strong too, the RGCC test. And it's been, you know, I just got the results back from that. And that was, you know, really eye-opening that what works for my cancer and what doesn't work. And Jim, let me give you an example of that. You know, I was on my healing protocol before I, you know, when I first got diagnosed, I was eating a ton of apricot seeds, and they call it B17. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that, you know, this is going to be great. This is going to be a surefire cancer killer. But, you know, RGC's test, if you get the Onco Plus RGCC test, it tests for these natural substances. And unfortunately, my test came back that B17, I think they call it latrile or apricot seeds, were non-effective for my cancer. It had a zero impact on my cancer. But I also found that there was a whole host of other things that were super effective at killing my cancer, such as black seed, black cumin, curcumin, sea cucumber, just some of these substances I had never even heard of that have a very high kill rate for my cancer. And I think out of a list of them, I think there was like maybe 15 or 20 different supplements that had a super high kill rate for my particular cancer. So luckily I have a naturopathic doctor, and I actually got a what I call the dynamic duel, a naturopath doctor and an MD doctor. They work closely together in the same office. They're putting together a protocol based on this RGCC test that I'm hopeful will knock this cancer out.
Wow. So now you're armed with information and direction to go. That's gotta be good for your mentality.
It is. And, you know, also, you know, I'm so blessed to be a part of the Healing Strong team now. And not only as a participant, but also a group leader. And it's helped me so much with the emotional part of healing and also the spiritual side of healing. You know, I'm not sure, Jim, if you're familiar with the book Radical Remission by Kelly Turner.
Oh, yeah.
That book was very eye-opening to me because in the beginning of my cancer diagnosis, she points out that there's, you know, 9 or 10 different things that cancer survivors do to increase their survival. These were things that, you know, she looked at all what long-term survivors did, and these 9 or 10 things were, you know, basically what sustained cancer survivors for long-term survival. So I looked at all these things, and I realized that, oh man, I had only been focused on only the physical part. And, right. You know, when I say physical, I'm thinking, you know, that means, you know, just the diet and the supplements and the exercise. And that's what I was focused on in my healing. But I had completely left out things like embracing social support and deepening your spiritual connection. And these things are so crucial to healing. And, you know, I find that, you know, what's so amazing is, you know, the Healing Strong network provides these for people, for cancer patients. So you can address the, you know, the physical and emotional and spiritual side. And it was a eye-opening experience. I'll just say that.
Yeah. I've actually used you as an example on several podcasts that I said, there's, you know, when I asked the people in my group what they want, what they need from the group, and you had said that the best part about the group is hearing other people's stories and being encouraged by them. I thought, wow, that's kind of neat. I didn't think about that, but you know, that is the most powerful part because you can get the education anywhere.
You can, yeah. Yeah, there's something about hearing somebody's testimony that just gives you confidence about being able to beat your cancer. And it's, you know, you, as Chris Work says, you've got to have the cancer mindset that say it, you know, that, you know, it's a reinforcement every day that you are going to get better. And you have to believe that not only not only consciously, but subconsciously as well, you know?
Yes. Now, have you met Chris?
I have not, but I'm anxious to get that opportunity.
Yes, you will in Houston because you're going to go to that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you two will have a lot to talk about since this journey is very, very similar.
For sure.
Okay, well, where do you see things going from here once you get in control of this? And obviously, this has changed your life for the better. You see yourself getting back into teaching or?
I do. But, you know, I'm a part of the Healing Strong community now. And as a group leader, I want to really focus on that because it's helped me so much. I'm not only that, you can, you know, I can utilize that role or that position to kind of pass down all of the information that I've gotten in the past year. I mean, I've gone from knowing nothing about cancer and healing to knowing quite a bit more, I'll just say that, and to be able to pass down that information is, I think it's just such a blessing. And not only that, you know, it's a blessing for me too, to, you know, I think that every time that I hear somebody get well doing these holistic approaches, that, you know, it does something for me. You know, it reaffirms my own healing too. And I think that's just an everyday process.
Yeah.
That everybody needs. And it's like a daily dose of medicine.
Yeah. I'm glad I get to be a part of watching your journey. In fact, I could be a witness. I remember you were kind of orange in color. So,
in the very beginning, yeah. I'm getting that way again.
So I know you're doing it.
Just a different way this time. I've added, according to this RGCC report, that I'm added a little bit more green vegetables to my juicing protocol, but more cruciferous vegetables.
And, yeah.
I just had, you know, a little bit of some of the things they check for. Of course, the RGCC test checks for all those genes that are kind of out of whack. And I had two of the IGF-1 and IGF-2 genes, which is your insulin genes, that were kind of feeding into my cancer a little bit, and got to keep that insulin level in control. So, so I have one of the good supplements I was recommended to get that insulin under control is called berberine. So yeah, that test has definitely gave me a wealth of information that targets my cancer specifically. So I'm very blessed to have been able to get that, and praise God for that.
Yeah. Now that, you know, we kind of live in the same area and you have new doctors, I'm going to watch you and see how well you like them. And then I might move on to that.
Absolutely.
Matt, it's been great hearing your story. I knew part of it, but I didn't know all of this. So that's kind of good. And of course, this comes out the day before our next meeting. So that's kind of cool. Meeting at the Cancer Survivors Park. We got the best place to meet as far as...
We do. It's a beautiful park.
Yes. So if people want to get a hold of you, they can just go to the website, the Healing Strong website, and look under group leaders in Greenville, South Carolina, and they get a hold of you if they need to, right?
That's right.
Matt, thank you so much. And I'm going to see you this coming Tuesday.
Yep. Looking forward to it, Jim. Always.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope it brings you encouragement on wherever you are on your journey. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider giving us a 5-star rating. Also, if you haven't already, go to our website at healingstrong.org and check out the info on our 10-year celebration coming up September 29th and 30th at the Met Church in Houston. You don't want to miss that. And consider joining our membership program. Healing Strong is a nonprofit organization that depends on donations from friends like you that want to help us spread hope. And finally, if you're not in a group, you can find one near you, join a virtual one, or learn how to start one of your own, like I did. All that information can be found at healingstrong.org.